Okay, so thank you very much for organizing this conference. And all what I'm going to talk about today is joint work with Mordecai Kurtz and other co-authors in the Stanford node. So though I'm based in Milano, I do work with Mordecai a lot. Okay, so let me start with showing you some empirical evidence which is well known about the stock market, about the US stock market. We know pretty well that we have an average risky rate of return on the entire stock market, which is about 8.5%. Risk-free rate, the real risk-free rate is about 1%. We have high volatility in the, high volatility in the risk rate of return, and we know we have an equity premium which is about 7%. And if we plot the data, this shows the magnitude of volatility in annual returns in the stock market in the US between 1926 and 2010. So the empirical evidence shows that there are anomalies in the market, which I not all of them are here, but these are those, some of those I'm going to talk about. Equity premium puzzle, risk-free rate puzzle, the excess volatility of asset prices and returns, risk premium, the term structure of interest rates, the forward discount bias, and the home bias. Mostly I'm going to talk about the first three. So the question is, I mean, I think talking about the, how diverse beliefs can contribute to the to understanding the dynamics we observe in the returns, the dynamics we observe in volatility, we need to ask these questions. Are there endogenous forces which contribute to the to determining the risk premia and contribute to the so-called excess volatility in the market? And also, why do premia fluctuate over time? So we know this is the first puzzle. This is very it's well known. This what would be what you get if you apply the Mehra and Prescott model and you get the equity premium puzzle. You get only an equity premium of 0.3%, very low volatility, nothing. In the standard rational expectations, Lucas-type economy, which was applied by Mehra and Prescott, nothing is able to replicate the empirical evidence, and we come up with an equity premium puzzle. Also, I want to show you the behavior of excess volatility. This is the monthly percent US stock volatility from 1926 to 2010 again. You can see the shaded lines are the NBR recessions. You can see the pattern of volatility, which is seems to be higher during recessions, so is countercyclical behavior of volatility, and you have very low volatility and spikes of volatility. This is the 1986, October 1987, sorry, and then high volatility during the current financial crisis and the Great Depression. Anyway, so this is just a summary of the empirical evidence that we have about stock markets. And this is instead some facts, some empirical facts I want to show you. Many of you have already seen something like this in previous talks. But I want to show you this evidence, which is empirical evidence about how diverse are the forecasts of agents in the market. Now, these are agents which, in December 2010, were asked to forecast the growth rate of the real growth rate of GDP, the GDP price index, nominal GDP, CPI, and many other macroeconomic variables, along with some interest rates, short-term and long-term. And you can see how diverse their beliefs are, how diverse their forecasts are. The conference board was forecasting for 2011 1.7% growth rate, while Pierpoint Securities was forecasting 3.6%. And this was during the current financial crisis. In December 2010, there was huge diversity of opinions about what the correct growth rate for next year would be. And now, going back in time, this is another picture which, on the same kind of data, oh, by the way, sorry, I forgot to tell you, this is forecast data, survey data, which is the blue chip economic indicators, which is collected monthly and published at the beginning of each month. Using the same data now, going back in time from 1990 to 2001, these lines are the 95th percentile, the 5th percentile, so everything between. So this is a cross-section of forecast of future next year growth of GDP. And these are the actual realizations of what they were forecasting. You could see that there is also some persistence in the forecasts of people, of agents. It took a long time for them to incorporate into their expectations the high growth which we experienced in the late 90s. So if you think of these people as agents in the market, you can see that the market as a whole is far away from what the realizations were. And this is another sample of sentiment in the market. This is the bull-bear ratio, which is a weekly ratio published by the Investors Intelligence and goes from 1970 to 2004 in this plot. And you can see that every time you are above 50, it means that the bulls in the market are in the majority. And you can see that the sentiment in the market is very volatile. It changes radically, and could be many people have used this index also to try to understand the excess volatility created within the market. Oh, this is a ratio of its Investors Intelligence service. What they do, they send letters to about 130, 140 agents, the traders, who send them back a letter saying buy, hold, or sell. So then the number of those who are bullish be over the number of those who are bearish. And with these sample people, sorry? Yeah, it's there. Bull bear ratio, it's a sentiment index. Yep. Thank you. So, today's talk, after giving this introduction of the empirical facts in stock markets, so I'm going to talk mostly about our contribution to equity premium, to understanding the equity premium puzzle, the risk-free rate puzzle, the excess volatility. But also, other people have been working on the other anomalies, and for instance, Ming Fan has been working on the excess excess returns in bond markets. So in the premia, in the term structure of interest rates, Stanley Black has been working also on the home bias and the forward discount bias, applying the same setup I'm going to show you in a while. But there is a very interesting and complete review of the work in this chapter in the handbook edited by Thorsten Hans and others, and also an article in an Italian review Carsten Nielsen and I have published. So today's talk is going to be, I hope, complete. Review is going to focus mainly on these papers. So the 2001 paper, the endogenous uncertain market volatility paper, then is going to talk about an extension of this overlapping generation model to infinite horizon economy, and then I will talk about the results we have with normally distributed beliefs and constant absolute risk aversion utility, the same kind of model we presented in New York. I'm going to focus also on the empirical implications of the theory that we have been exploring in the last few years. So, a summary of what the rational belief theory says about explaining these facts. We assume, the theory assumes that agents do not know the true probability distribution that is underlying the equilibrium process. What the agents can do, the agents can use, as very nicely Steve summarized in his talk, agents have infinite data. They can use this infinite amount of data to construct the empirical distribution and learn the empirical distribution in the economy. The fact that we assume that the equilibrium process is too complicated is non-stationary, and so all the best you can do is to learn the long-term behavior, to learn using past data, you can learn the empirical distribution. So with the world being complicated, then agents are allowed to have their own opinion, their own model, their own interpretation of how the economy works. So then this is a rational belief, which is then a rational belief, and here we get some restrictions of what are the allowed beliefs by the agents. The allowed beliefs are those that cannot be contradicted by the empirical evidence. Meaning that if the agent is simulating his own model, and then is going to compute the empirical distribution of his own model, is going to get exactly the same empirical distribution he learns from the observables. So in this complex non-stationary system, then rational beliefs may show optimism and pessimism. So agents sometimes may be above the empirical forecast, or can be, so that be optimistic relative to the stationary forecast, or can be pessimistic relative to the same forecast. Okay, already said this. So I put some, I wrote something in formal terms, but the idea is the same. So the agents can observe data, then there is a true probability distribution. So this is the true probability distribution, pi, on this probability, of this probability space. And then the agent is using probability q on the same space. So he's adopting his own theory. The agent takes this as fixed, but it doesn't know it. So all what he can do is, he cannot learn pi, but he's going to learn by doing a lot of computations on the data. He's going to compute the empirical stationary distribution. And at the end, So this dynamical system, what we need is the dynamical system to be stable. The dynamical system to be a system where I can compute moments, I can learn an empirical stationary distribution. And also, the empirical distribution I'm going to get from here can be applying standard extension theorems, I can be extended to a probability distribution on this probability space. So then each agent can select his own belief Q. We only need that the system generated by belief has to be stable. The same system with belief Q has to generate the same empirical stationary distribution. So this is the main idea of rationality. This is where the restriction comes in. Agents are allowed to pick any belief as long as it cannot is compatible with the data. Note that in a non-stationary world, what you get as a stationary distribution is different than the true underlying probability distribution. So one more thing. So then Q and pi may disagree on timing and sequencing. Agents may put different probabilities on rare events. And this, the individual belief Q allows for, as I said before, for optimism and pessimism relative to M, to what the agent can learn from the data. So the economy is believed to be non-stationary by the agents, and agents disagree on about the unknown regime parameters of the underlying process of the economy. So then, when we have diverse beliefs with N agents, usually the equilibrium maps take this form. Prices are function of information, publicly available information, and on the whole distribution of beliefs across agents. So, and this is what Mordecai in 1974 called a component of endogenous uncertainty, which is the uncertainty generated within the system by the beliefs of the agent. And I give you here an example. Suppose, and this is actually an example which applies to one of the papers we're going to look at later. Suppose there is a finite state Markov economy, then a belief Qi of agent I could be a sequence of selections supposed from two matrices. The agent believes that two possible matrices that can occur can be selected at each time. And then the stationary measure is represented by a Markov matrix. So the long-term behavior of the economy is this Markov matrix. Think about this is the Markov matrix, which later I'm going to use is the same as in Merriam-Prescott, which is a two-state Markov matrix. So then the agent Qi is going to be different than M, which means that Gi are different than gamma, than the stationary measure. So at different dates, the agent might pick one or the other of these two conditional probabilities. So if they disagree, if they do not agree with their what they learn from the data, I mean, if they do not believe that the empirical distribution is the truth, what happens is as soon as this happens, then rationality implies that the agents have to change their beliefs over time. They have to fluctuate. You cannot be always optimistic. You cannot be always pessimistic. Because if you're always pessimistic, then the stationary distribution generated by your system won't be the same as the one in the data. So,
sure. Does that mean that on average through time, the proportion of times you believe in G
We assume it's the same across people. It could be different. Yeah.
But at the same time,
it's the same. Yeah, but the proportion is the same, but the timing might be different. You believe in G1 today, I don't. So this is a different representation of what I said before, and it's going to be useful to understand the latest development of our work. So think of the starting point as a non-stationary environment. Suppose this is a process, a dividend process. In the economy, dividends are generated. Think about the Lucas-type economy, where there is an exogenous process generating dividends. And this process has an unknown true probability pi. Under the truth, suppose this is what happens. So where there is an infinite zero mean sequence of ST, which are unobserved. So the agents, if you take, if you try to learn anything from here, what you're going to learn is you're going to learn something which is this. But agents also observe that the dynamics of the system are heteroscedastic. So ST is a zero mean sequence, but it does impact the mean growth rate of dividends from time to time. So there are regimes, changes of regimes across time, which we represent by this variable ST. So the agents know that what they can learn, M, is not the truth. And what we assume that there is no, it's common knowledge, there is no private information. All agents can learn this from the data. So they can learn this, but they cannot learn the behavior, the behavior of the parameters ST. So then each agent is allowed to have his own interpretation, his own interpretation or opinion about what this empirical distribution is going to be. So then here comes the role of the agent's state of belief. So the agent has his own belief process, which is generating, let's call it a selection variable. As I said before, in the example, here. So that G is the variable that tells the agent which matrix to pick. So here, instead, in this normal world, what the agent, the perception of the agent is given by this. So the agent is trying to have an idea, his own interpretation of the change of regime which is induced by S in the true underlying model. So then the agent, you can see that the expectation, the difference between the expectation under the perception of the agent and the expectation under the stationary distribution is going to be this, which is what the agent is trying to learn, is trying to have an opinion about, which is the ST in the underlying truth. So we're going to work with this setup, and we put some restriction on G. So not sequences of GIs of agents state of belief will be put under some restrictions. For instance, as I said before, G cannot be a constant. G has to fluctuate over time because the only constant which is allowed is to have GI equal to zero always, which means the agent believes only in M, in the stationary distribution. Rationality principle two, it means that is the consistency property. So both of them are summarizing a consistency property of beliefs. So the agent, the belief of the agent cannot deviate from here consistently. So the G have to have unconditional mean of zero. The only constant which is allowed is G to be always zero, which means the agent is believing in the stationary empirical distribution. So think about this process. Think about this process that when G is positive, then you are with, of course, lambda being, say, lambda equal to plus 1 being positive, then it means that you are creating, you are optimistic, you are above what the forecast is under the empirical stationary distribution. If G is negative, then it means that you are pessimistic relative to the forecast you get under the empirical distribution. Okay, and then G is also Markov, and there are empirical evidence on this process, on this belief process, which is consistent with the data I showed you at the beginning. If you go over the data and you try to filter out of the data information available on the market, you are left out with a subjective belief which is persistent, and it has a first-order autocorrelation of about 0.5, 0.7. Mordecai, in his 2009 paper, shows how to deduce this from Bayesian learning. So then the market belief is going to be a collection of individual beliefs. So then we can aggregate, average, by averaging all the beliefs. And then by averaging them out, we get this. The fact that agents' beliefs are correlated, when you aggregate them, you do not get a zero effect, but you still get a positive, you get an effect which is different than zero. So correlation across agents makes, when you aggregate them, makes things such a way that do not cancel out. So then this aggregate variable is going to represent a new state variable. So the state space is expanding from D plus the state variable, which represents the dynamics of market beliefs, the dynamics of beliefs in the whole market, which are deduced from an aggregation of the individual beliefs. So then the perception model, this is the empirical transitions that the agent can learn from the data. And here now we are assuming that a proxy of market beliefs can be observed by the agent. So the agent can observe huge amount of data on survey. I mean, now in the last 10 years, probably the amount of survey data on forecast and sentiment indices in the market has been growing gigantically. So there is a lot of data available. We assume this is data which is available to the agent to understand the state of belief of the market, of the whole market. But the agent then has his own perception of what he can learn from the data. And this represents, as I said before, the perception of the agent, which is driven by the selection of his own state of belief, GI. OK. So what is the interpretation we should have about Z? Z becomes a state variable as any other in the market for the agents. Then news about Z are, if you read every week on the Wall Street Journal, the announcement of the bull-bear ratio, it is like having a news about what the market thinks about the future, as well as you can have news about growth rate of GDP. So that news about the state of belief of the market are useful to, for the agent to assess the future, to have an assessment about the future in the economy. The market belief ZT may be wrong. And here, you know, it's like, it's in line. This explains the Samuelson's quip, the market forecasted 9 out of the 9 of the last 5 recessions. So most of the times, the market believes Z can be wrong. And as I showed you before in that plot, for a long time, the average market belief was way below the realized growth rate in the economy. It took them some time to catch up. So then Z is not information. Z is not information about DT. It's not a signal about something which is not unobserved. Remember, the assumption is we make is in these models is that the agent is common knowledge. There is no private information. So ZT is just news about what the market thinks about the future. Okay, so. Here is going the first model we used where we applied the theory in the, for the stock market, and is the overlapping generation model in Kurz Motolese 2001. And here, what we have, we stay very close. I mean, the model is religiously close to the setup you have in Merriam Prescott. So we want to compare what is the contribution of diverse beliefs in that setup. So it's an overlapping generation model. Think of two dynasties indexed by I equal 1 and 2. So there are two dynasties. So there are diverse agents. A standard maximization of a constant relative risk aversion utility function, time separable, consumption when young and consumption when old. And these are the two budget constraints. Nothing new. Everything is standard so far. The only thing which is different is the operator, the expectational operator, which is depends on the effective belief the agent is going to use, which is QI. Then the dynamics, the exogenous dynamics of the growth rate of dividends are assumed to be as in Merriam Prescott like this, with two states, high and low, and the transition matrix is gamma. Here, now we go back to a finite state, to finite states, and the agents are now picking sequences of parameters GI from a finite number of possible states of beliefs. And so then when, say, GI is equal to 1, the agent is picking this probability belief with one matrix with probability alpha I. So the fact is that in this model, it's a complicated, and that was very unpleasant the presentation or complicated correlation of beliefs, because these beliefs will be correlated, and the correlation of beliefs creates some interesting dynamics. So at the end, in this model, the state space is enlarged. If in Meron-Prescott with finite state space, two exogenous states, you only had two prices. Now, with two exogenous states, two dynasties, each one of them has two possible states of beliefs, then you end up with eight possible states, which are identified by this. You can see that conditional on the same exogenous state of dividends, so if we are in a high state of growth, you may have prices which are then influenced. The effect on prices is different depending on the distribution of beliefs in the market. So then this is an amplification effect on the dividend, on the exogenous process, through the endogenous beliefs of the agent. When we solve it numerically for a risk aversion parameter which is within the reasonable range, with pretty much annual discount rate and matrix gamma to be as in Meron-Prescott, what you get, you recover pretty much the excess volatility in risky rates of return, the premium, you recover the equity premium, and the low risk-free rate, you recover that too. But the model fails to explain the low standard deviation, the very high stability of the real risk-free rate in the economy. And this model was very interesting, was an exercise, and to understand the dynamics that you could create within with beliefs and with diverse rational beliefs changing over time. And more, the model also predicts, you can simulate then the economy and the correlation of beliefs in the market are such that they are compatible with heteroscedastic volatility. Also, they replicate the pattern predictability of long returns. And as I said before, some authors, and in the paper there is also a section on this, when you extend the same model to an economy, the two-country economy, you can recover the forward discount bias so that you do not get perfect correlation between interest rate differential and the change in the exchange rate. So, as I said before, this model fails to predict the low volatility of the real risk-free rate. And I have to be honest here. I mean, we like this model, but then when we came across all the data, on the survey data on expectations, we asked ourselves, I mean, are these wild beliefs? What is there a criterion to talk about plausibility of beliefs? The set of possible beliefs is huge. The set of possible beliefs compatible with the same empirical evidence is huge. So maybe, and this is matter for future research, maybe the data, the survey data we have, can put some empirical restrictions on the possible set of beliefs that can be selected. Then, in 2005, we extended the model to an infinite horizon economy. And again, there are two assets, a risky asset in unit supply and a risk-free bond in zero net supply and a single consumption good. It's the same kind of Lucas-type economy. Now, there is aggregate output and the dividend which are paid to the owners, and agents maximize their own utility, expected utility as a standard, and this is their own budget constraint, standard. And the standard Euler equations. Now, the dividend process is this one, with DT, the growth rate, being non-stationary again. This is a constant assumption and something that is always assumed in our models, which is a basic tenet of the theory, that the underlying true process is non-stationary. So then the agents can learn the empirical distribution dt, which is similar, I mean, it's essentially the same as the one I showed you before. And what they do then, okay, this is to solve the model. We want to solve for equilibrium price dividend ratios, so then we normalize the equations and we solve with constant relative risk aversion utility function, and this is the model we're going to solve numerically. And the solution was done by perturbation methods. Then the agent, so then the state space of the economy is going to be the exogenous growth rate of the dividends, but differently than what I said to you before, here we assume there are still two agents. Now I'm not aggregating all of them. So I'm aggregating two, think of N agents and large number of agents in type one, large number of agents in type two, and then you can aggregate within type and you get the market belief of type one and the market belief of type two. So then you can observe this. This is what you can learn by observing data in the market. And this is what the M, the stationary empirical distribution, would be. But then agents can pick his own conditional probability QI, which is conditional on what he observes, his own belief, state of belief. So then what we do, we write this, the agent's expectation, as the sum of two components. This is the stationary forecast he would get under the empirical distribution he learned. And then there is this B function, which is function of his own state of belief. Now, if this B is bigger than zero, then we say the agent is in a bull state of belief. If is less than zero, then is in a bear state. So we study the intensity. We explore different setup of the intensity and frequency of bull and bear states of beliefs in the market. It turns out that you can write the perception model of the agent this way. So the stationary component and the belief component. Rationality conditions are such that the any sequence of GIs, of agent states of beliefs, which pins down this vector, has to have exactly the same empirical distribution as the distribution the agents observe in the data, in here. So this is where the rationality conditions are creating restrictions on the parameters we can select for designing this belief function. Now, what the model explored situations where B is symmetric, linear. What we found out that when you have something which is non-linear and asymmetric, where this row of G is designed by a logistic function, so you can switch from states from 0 to 1 or anything in between according to your intensity of optimism and pessimism. And if this is the empirical distribution, then compatible with this empirical distribution will be agents switching between these distributions, and which also have fat tails. So bull and bear switching between bull and bear states of beliefs creates dynamics in this model which are compatible also with with agents who have fat tails and put higher probability on tail events. So what this model was able to do was able to replicate, again, the same empirical evidence I showed you before, sharp ratio, and also the correlation between risk returns and consumption growth. Also, the predictability of stock returns and price-driven ratios when you go look at variance ratio statistics for long lags, autocorrelation of price-driven ratios, the mean reversion of the risk returns, and is the predictability of returns using the price-dividend ratio. So all these facts of the stock market could be replicated by this with the diverse beliefs of that sort. But we could not replicate them with very symmetric beliefs, because the two agents will cancel each other out. Only where there was correlation across beliefs and fat tails were the two ingredients that gave us the possibility to replicate some of the dynamics observed in the stock market. So overconfidence is what we label that by overconfidence. So agents are sometimes almost sure about they would not trade their model with anybody else. They believe in their model and they go with densities with fat tails. And also the asymmetry in the frequencies of bull and bear states. This is something which is also in the overlapping generation model, because what happens is in that model and also here, bull markets develop slowly. Bear markets occur sometimes in a very drastic way. So the beliefs are such that agents are more cautious towards bull markets, but they react with a high intensity when they forecast a bear market. So again, if we want to compare the results, now this model corrected for the high standard deviation we are getting in the risk-free rate. And this is the setup, this is the same as it has been used in many papers. This would be the correspondent, the parameters that would model the same, this comes from Campbell, this parameterization of the dividend process, which is the equivalent of the finite state process in Mera and Prescott. Again, with gamma, risk aversion, relative risk aversion being equal to 2, and discount factor being on an annual base, we get results which are in line with the evidence in the US market. So this, to give you an idea of the variability that we get, these are 500 simulated price dividend ratios under this parameterization. And this are the log of risk rates of return, where you can see immediately that they are compatible with heteroscedastic volatility behavior. Now, going to more recent work, which is in line with what I said at the beginning. Again, I'm not repeating myself here. So this is the exogenous non-stationary process on the dividends. Now, here we go to an economy where, again, there is a stock, there is a riskless asset, but we go to the constant absolute risk aversion utilities. And because now we want to find, we're not going to solve this numerically, but we want to find analytical solutions. And the equilibrium price, the price of the risk premium is the conditional expectation under the stationary distribution, and this is the premium you would get. The assumption we make is that the riskless technology gives you a gross return which is fixed. We're not solving here for the riskless rate, so we fix it constant. Okay, so I have 5 minutes, but, 5 minutes? Okay. So the main theorem of this paper shows that the equity premium, the expected excess return in the economy is a function of the aggregate market belief. And so being this positive, then what we have is that the market belief will fall if the market is more optimistic, so Z is positive, the equity premium will fall, the excess return will fall, which is as saying that when the market is more optimistic about the future, they regard any long position to be awarded a lower premium. Okay? So this is very intuitive. But volatility here on this left-hand side are also caused by fluctuations in Z. And let me skip this. And let me go to, so this is the main theorem that shows how the premium, the excess returns, are functional of market beliefs. And let me go straight to some empirical test. So now I need to construct from the empirical data of survey a measure of the market state of belief. So this is going to be equal to the average of individuals' beliefs minus this stationary econometric forecast. So at the end is this. So I can estimate this from survey data, and I can get also the cross-section standard deviation of the survey data, but then I need to come up with something which creates an empirical forecast. So, so this is an example of the mean market belief on GDP, corporate profits, and industrial production. These come from Livingstone survey and survey professional forecaster in the US. And this is their cross-section standard deviation. But then to construct the stationary empirical forecast, then I use some estimators and some macro factors and just do the forecast. It's a rolling forecast from time to time about the future growth rate of GDP using these the estimated parameters of this regression. And we use also 4 macro factors which are computed by the principal component analysis on Stock and Watson. Okay, let me skip to this. So then, So then the market state of belief is going to be the, as I said before, the difference between the average that comes from survey data and what I get from the empirical forecast. And this is a plot of what I get on GDP, corporate profits, and industrial production as market state of belief, as this difference here. And now this is data on the 6. Then I want to see how good they do the beliefs if they are able to help us understand the volatility and the forecastability of excess return. This is 6 months return. So then what I do, I regress returns against some macro financial predictors, which are these. So the dividend yield, the default premium, term premium, and the Lettau-Ludwigson CHI consumption wealth ratio data. And ZT is this the linear combination of these three measures I computed on GDP, corporate profits, and industrial production. To make a long story short, we find that the Z, when you introduce this component, which is the extracted component of beliefs from the survey data, it is significant, and it is of the correct sign as predicted by the theory. And this is the gray line, is where you have beliefs, is the fitted values with beliefs. And you can see that where the blue arrows are, that the beliefs are able to create some dynamics which pick the turning point in the observed data. So then I would do the same for 1 year return. And at the end, so the coefficients are statistically stable. The Z contribute to predicting the turning points and improves the predictability of return. So this is a result which was already in Campbell and Diebold, but they used the forecast data of GDP. So this improves the predictability with respect to what Campbell and Diebold had. But one thing is that anytime you put these variables in there, forecast variables or Z variables, the wealth consumption ratio Lettau-Ludwigson becomes non-significant, meaning that probably this variable is hiding some expectations, some market expectations in it. Then we do some robust analysis, subsampling, and interaction with other variables, concluding. So this long talk about what we had done, just to show that we believe that market perception should be considered as fundamental to asset pricing as any other customary exogenous variable. And I think we all agree on this here. We are on the same page on this kind of thinking. We may have different ways of designing market perceptions. We have different theories, but I think this is something we all share. The time variability of the equity risk premium is created by fluctuating market expectations. Agents who hold diverse beliefs who fluctuate over time. And anyway, so I think using this market data, using data on market beliefs can be useful to understanding the causes of market dynamics. And the future, I think future research will force us to use this data, and now there is more data available. The Michigan survey has been open to everybody, which will help us also have a better idea of the restrictions the empirical data on forecast can give on the set of possible beliefs. Thank you.